The last verse of our reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I will in due course come to the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan. But first, I want us to think this morning about those opening verses of St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. It's a very interesting letter for a number of reasons. And it's one also, if you're here regularly Sunday by Sunday, we'll hear over the next four Sundays. Firstly, it's written to a church which Paul himself didn't establish. There is no record in the Acts of the Apostles to Paul visiting Colossae. He actually writes in this passage, "We have heard of your faith." We haven't established it, we've heard it about it. The Colossian church was in fact established by, as he puts it, our beloved fellow servant Epaphras. And if you were to read on in the letter in chapter 4 and verse 12, Epaphras is with Paul as he writes. And again, at the end, in the last chapter of the letter, it's a very interesting instruction, verse 16 of chapter 4. Once you've read this letter, send it to be read to the church at Laodicea, and in turn, read the letter I've sent to them, says St. Paul. It's a lovely example of how Paul's letters were circulated around the early church. This letter has the standard opening of a letter of Paul, saying who it's from and to, and how Paul gives thanks and praise for the church at Colossae. He prays that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to lead lives fully pleasing to God. Because, the verse I quoted at the end of our passage, he, God, has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That verse is a summary of the Christian gospel condensed into one verse. We have been rescued, redeemed, forgiven through what God has done in the person of Jesus Christ. He has rescued and redeemed us, as we sang in the verses 2 and 3 of our first hymn. It's the work of God in the person of Jesus. And now that does stand in stark contrast to the question that results in Jesus telling of the story we know in English as the Good Samaritan. For the lawyer asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Not what God can do, but what must I do? It, of course, was a test to test Jesus. Let's have a theological debate. Jesus, of course, turns the question back on the lawyer, asks him how he reads it. And the lawyer replies with what is often called our Lord's summary of the law. And in Matthew and Mark, that passage, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself," is attributed to Jesus saying it. It is a combination of two verses from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and Leviticus 19, verse 18. It speaks of our duty towards God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And our duty towards others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says to him, "Do this and you will live." Is Jesus commending works that we earn our salvation. No, I think he is pointing out the impossibility of doing so. Do this and you will live, but it's impossible to do so. And the lawyer, I love the phrase, wanting to justify himself. Don't we all like to do that, justify ourselves? Asks the question, who is my neighbour? What he wanted to do was to put a limitation on his obligations under the Jewish law. Let's define the neighbour and only have to go so far and that's it. The story that Jesus tells is unique to Luke's gospel. There is no other record of it. The title of, as we tend to know it as, has become a figure of speech in English. We often say she or he is a good Samaritan. In fact, another figure of speech comes from the parable, to pass by on the other side. But as I know I've said before here, to the Jews of Jesus' day, a good Samaritan was a contradiction in terms. Good and Samaritan didn't belong in the same sentence as far as most Jews were concerned. Samaritans were utterly despised. They were a mixed race people and didn't worship at the temple in Jerusalem. And it is such a contrast with the priest and the Levite in the story. They did not help the man half dead at the roadside. And the reason it's usually offered is in case they made themselves ritually unclean and unable to participate in temple worship, touching a body that might be dead. It's interesting to note that the attitude of the lawyer, even after the story has been told, and Jesus asks the question, which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Notice he can't say the Samaritan. He says the one who showed him mercy. Basically, what Jesus is trying to teach, if we take nothing away this morning than this, is that our neighbor, who we are to love as ourselves, there needs to be no barriers of race or nationality. And that needs to be loudly said, I think, in this day and age, judging by what I hear happening in Britain and America at this present time. Love for God and neighbour is not expressed purely by outward ritual observance, as the priest and the Levite would, but in doing what the Samaritan did. Neighbour has no barriers of race or nationality. So in conclusion this morning, yes, as Paul says, he, God, has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It is all about what God in Christ has done for us, not what I can do to earn my salvation, and what we celebrate and participate in as we receive consecrated bread and wine around his table this morning. But in response to what God in Christ has done for us, as I will say at the end of the service, as I said partway through the sermon last week, I will say, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thank you, Gwen. Someone's awake. That's the response. And I'll get you all to say it together because it's printed in the order of service on the last page. Which does mean going out and seeking to love our neighbour as ourselves. Even when they may mean loving the unlovely, people who somehow are different to us, and even those we find difficult. The message of that parable story of Jesus is that there is no limit to who the neighbour is that we are to love as ourselves. May we take at least something from what I've had to say this morning, that wonderful story, as well as the teaching of St. Paul. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.